Ayla told us Noyach. Earlier, I was here earlier, but I rebooted. I was here at 7:15. I was talking to Tamari. My computer was the I had a reboot. Sorry, I had a reboot.
So we have to get you a good computer.
No, it's good. The computer's good. Don't worry. I have to just get it earlier. Let's start. Ayla told us Noyach. These are the generations of Noyach. Noyach was an ish tzaddik. Tamim hoya b'doyreisav. He was tamim in his generations. Es v'lekim mishalech Noyach. Rashi. Eile toles Noyach. Noyach ish tzaddik. He was a tzaddik. Noyach was a tzaddik. Rashi. Why does the pasuk have to tell us that he was a tzaddik? Rashi. Chol v'his kiroi siper b'shvachim. Once we mention him, we describe, we discuss, we relate. Siper, we relate b'shvachim his praise. Shenemar zecher tzaddik levracha. Okay, this is very important. Rashi. Rashi here reveals to us that this expression zecher tzaddik levracha is something that is used on a living person. We don't use. I mean, over here, when the pasuk describes Noach, Noach's alive. The pasuk is not describing Noach after he already died. We are reliving the experience, and as we relive the experience, we say Zecher Tzadik Levracha. This is a clear proof that today we're all messed up, because today we use the term Zecher Tzadik Levracha only in reference to someone who's dead, which is not correct. It's not correct. Zecher Tzadik Levracha is an expression that you use in reference to a living person. It's just a very bizarre thing. I remember in Tor Vadas, they had a journal. They used to have a journal every year for the dinner, a very nice Torah journal. And one of the living Rosh Yeshivas, they wrote him, Rav so-and-so, you know, they heard an article, and they wrote Zatzal. Zayin Tzadi Lamed, which basically means he's dead. It doesn't get worse than that, right? Like, where were the editors? Where were the copy editors? Were they drunk? What in the world is going on? You write about the Rosh Hashiva, you write about the living Rosh Hashiva, so-and-so Zatzal. Reports of my demise are premature. What are you writing, Zatzal? So the comfort was, whoever said Zatzal refers to the dead. Zatzal is an expression that you use for the living, as Rashi here says, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Kevon Shezkiroi, Hoyl Vizkiroi Tziber B'Shlocha, Shenemar Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Dovrach or Nodab Shat. Lalamdecha Sheikar Toldois, Sehem Shal Tzadikim Ma'asim Toivim. The Iker Toldois, when it says here, Eile Toldois, these are the generations of Noyach. What are his generations? So you would say his children. His grandchildren, his wealth, his assets. What did he accomplish? No, the Pascal comes to make it very, very clear. The Iker told the same Shal Tzadikim are his masim time. What are his masim time? Is holokim his salich noyach. It says Eli told us noyach. Noyach was an ish tzadik. To be a tzadik, this is the Iker. The Iker told us of a person is to be his good deeds. This that he's a tzadik. Next. Bidur Raisav, in his generations, what's the Diyak Bidur Raisav? Yesh Merabasenu Dorshim Oysel L'Shevach. Some of our rabbis, they interpret this for good. Kol Shekein She'ilu Hoye Bidur Tzadikim. Hoye Tzadik Yoyser. It says he was a tzadik in his generation, which has a connotation that he was only a tzadik relative to his generation, which means he did not reach his full potential. He could have been even a greater tzaddik. If he was given the opportunity to live in another generation like Avraham Avinu, he would have been even greater. So he was a tzaddik in his generation. It's a limitation. In his generation, he was a tzaddik. But he was not the full tzaddik he could have been had he lived in a generation, and that generation where he had more opportunity, he would have been even greater. One more time. Yesh Rabbeinu Dorsh Moshe L'Shevach Kol Shekein, certainly She'ilu Hoye Bidor Tzadikim. If he was in a generation where there were more tzadikim, he would have been able to draw from them. he would have been able to build upon, he would have been able to do teamwork. And Hoyat Sadig Yoser, V'yesher Darshim Oyser L'Gnai. Some interpret this in a negative form to tell you, L'fi Doyoy Hoyat Sadig. He was only righteous relative to the wicked people of his generation. But if he was living in another generation, he would not have been considered Sadig at all. V'ilu Hoyat B'Darshim Avraham, Lo Hoyat Nechshav L'Klum. He would have been zero. He wouldn't hold a hair. He wouldn't hold up a candle to Avraham Avinu had he lived in this generation. Now notice when it says Yesh Darshim L'Shevach, Rashi is the words Yesh Me Rabbi Seinu. There are those from our rabbis. Yesh Me Rabbi Seinu Darshim Oisel L'Shevach. But when Rashi says the second interpretation, L'Gnai, Rashi omits the word Meirab Oisein, V'yesh Shadarshim Oisein L'Gnai. Rashi here leaves out the word Meirab Oiseinu. Because if you're going to Darshim L'Gnai in the negative form, we're not going to call you one of our teachers. Our Rabbi Oiseinu, our teachers, only know how to look at the good side. They don't know how to look at the bad side. So over here we have two ways of interpreting this word, Bedoyroi Sov, in his generation he was called a tzaddik. So you can look at that two ways. If you want to be from the religious schools, Yesh Meira Boiseinu, then it's going to be L'Shevach. But if you want to look at this in the negative form, okay, you may be entitled to do so because nothing is holding you back, but don't say you are Meira Boiseinu. You are an outsider. You're a reporter. You're from the media. You're from the left-wing socialist society who don't want to see anything good. You're only looking to see the bad. If you want to be from the Shevach, Yesh Meir Abayseinu. If you want to be from the negative, L'Gnai, you're not Meir Abayseinu. It's a famous art. This Vard is as old as it gets. It's beautiful, but the oldies are the goodies. The oldies are the best. Verlach, this is Mam solid. Rabbi Seinu, our Mesorah is L'Shevach, to look for the good. There are a lot of people out there that have what to say, and what they have to say is legitimate. There is legitimate cause for what they have to say, but those people who are only looking to uncover bad, they're not Rabbi Seinu. They're from the outsiders. Okay, now let's see Rashi. We have next word is Eswakim Hesalech Melech. What is Melech Eswakim Hesalech? Hashem walked together with Noach, Uva Avraham, who Omer Asher Hisalachti Lifonav. It says that Avraham and HaKadosh Baruch Hu walked Asher Hisalachti Lifonav. Avraham walked before Hashem. Asher Hisalachti Lifonav. Who walked before? I don't remember. Let's go look it up. Chavdalid Pasignem. I forgot. Chavdalid, Perik Chavdalid Pasignem. Asher pasuk Asher hisalachti, bereishis chavdalid mem. There is no mem. Shemos. I'm sorry. Bereishis chavdalid.
I have a note. 17:1.
Yeah.
17:1.
Where 17:1? What's that?
Bereishis, I see.
24.
24.
24. No, 24. 17:1. Where is that?
What are you looking for?
Asher
Hisalachti
Lifanav. Asher.
Tamari.
Asher Tamari's here. She's the Bucky.
24:1.
40.
24:20.
That's what she said. Which Chumash?
Bereishis.
24:20?
Yeah.
Okay, let me go check it out. Wow, Tamari's on the ball. Vayoymer Eloi. She's always right. What are you kidding? Tamari's always right. Vayoymer Eloi, Hashem, Asher Hisalachti Lifonav, Hashem, which I walked. Avraham Avinu says Avraham Avinu walked before Hashem. Avraham Avinu.
The Pasuk 17 and 1 also is there. He says,
17?
I am El Shaddai, walk before me.
Okay, it's another pasuk. Very good.
Yeah.
By Bris Mila.
Here in in the article refers to that pasuk.
Okay, wow, interesting, very interesting. Okay, so my, I have two different chumashim. We have two chumashim. They each referring to different sukkim. There are two sukkim which say the same idea. Excellent. There are two psukim which say the same idea, which means that Asher said that the Avraham Avinu, he walked before Hashem. He walked independent of Hashem. Over here it says that Avraham Avinu, that Noach, he walked again. What's the answer? Noach required support. To support him. Noach But Avraham was strong and could walk by himself. Sad. You know, Sad is a name, Sadia. Rabbeinu Sadia Goin. Sadia Goin, the first person, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he has a book. I don't know if it's his book, someone put out from him names. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is a very big Baki in Tanakh, incredible, unusual Baki in Tanakh, unusual koyach, grasp of Tanakh. And there are a lot of things they put out from him about Tanakh. These short, everything is like very short. And he has a whole thing on names. I should have bought it. I didn't buy it. It was a little controus. And I always learn my lesson the hard way. You go into a Svarim store, and they put out new Svarim. You know, these type of Svarim, it's either you get it right then or there, you'll never see it the rest of your life. And you'll never even know that it exists. This is a really, really good sefer. I should have gotten it. It's about names. Because it's very common. People come to him in Eretz Yisrael, they ask him about their name. They have this name, and he tells people to change their name. Don't ask me. I don't know why. I think they say that he stopped doing this. He used to do this. He doesn't tell people to do this anymore. But he has a grasp on names. And in that book, I remember looking, Sadia. He says the first person in the world history, anywhere that we find had the name Sadia, was Rav Sadia Goin. Okay, Rav Sadia Goin. He's the only one that had the name Sadia. And what does that name exactly, what does that name actually mean? It means, so Sadia is a support. Sa'ad. A support. Avraham Avinu Noach needed, Rashi here says, a support. He could not walk by himself. He needed Hashem to support him. Avraham Avinu was able to walk independently alone. It's interesting that Noach, there's also a comparison between Avraham and Yaakov. It says in Chazal that in the Teva, one day Noach was late in bringing food to the lion, and the lion bit Noach, and Noach was injured, and he came out of the Teva limping. Tzelea al Yerechai. Yaakov Avinu, he fought with the Sar Shel Esav, and he also Noga Bekaf Hayorech, and he also came out of that battle limping. But the difference is, Yaakov Avinu healed. Vayovo Yaakov Sholem. Yaakov Avinu healed. We don't find anywhere that Noach was healed from his limping. Young man, what would you like? Cock? One second, we have to give him a cup. You know, Chashev, here's a cup. You want some seltzer?
Yeah, that's it.
What?
I don't want to take away from
you. No, take, it's good. No, take, please. Okay. Vayovo Yaakov Shol. Okay, so therefore it says over here that Noach required a sa'ad. He required support, whereas Avraham did not require. Okay, so we got over here with this whole pasuk. We went through a lot of Yisoidos, the first pasuk in Parashas Noach. Let's review what we learned, and we have to right away appreciate that everything that Rashi says is a response. Rashi is really, as we learn in this shiur, the goal of this shiur is to believe and to prove our thesis that everything that Rashi is really a commentary on Unkelus. Rashi is not a commentary on the Parsha, he's a commentary on Unkelus. Contrary to popular belief, doesn't say this anywhere. But the more you learn Rashi and the more you learn Unkelus, it becomes clear as day that that's what Rashi is doing. He's not just giving you a commentary on the Parsha, he's writing a critical review of Unkelus. So far we learned, Ele tol esnech nech ish tzadik, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Number two, Iker Tol Doisem Shel Tzadikim, Shel Adam, as the Maisim Toivim. Number three, we learned Yesh Bidoy Reisav, Yesh Rabbeinu L'Shevach, V'Yesh L'Gnai. Number four, Es Hoelokim Ishalich Noach. Noach, we compare Noach to Avraham. Noach Tzorich Sahad. Avraham did not require a support. The beginning of the parasha is Noach. The end of this week's parasha begins Avraham Avinu. At the end of this week's parasha, we're coming to contrast the end to the beginning, the chilik between the two, Noach and Avraham. Now, let's look at the Targum Unkelus, Elaine. These are Toldos Noach. Noach Gevar Zakai. Zakai. Okay, let's hold back for one moment. He was a man that was Zakai. Zakai normally means innocent. Zakai is not the word that you would use to translate tzaddik. Now we know why Rashi is coming to disagree. What does it mean that tzaddik? The word tzaddik is not such an easy word to translate. Like the word tzedek, tzedakah, tzedek. Sometimes the word tzedakah has a connotation of giving chesed, giving someone more than what they deserve. On the other hand, the word tzedek has a connotation of justice. You get exactly what you deserve. So what is it? Is tzedakah mean more than what you deserve, or is tzedakah exactly what you deserve? Well, the answer is it depends on the context. It's one of those words which you cannot pin down to mean precisely one thing. It all depends on the context. When you say a person is a tzaddik, what does that mean? Does that mean that he goes straight to Gan Eden? Does that mean that he goes straight to Olam Haba? Or maybe tzaddik doesn't mean that. Tzaddik just means that he was an innocent person. He did not do anything wrong. It doesn't mean that he did anything right. There are lots of people out there in the world that you can say about them, they didn't do anything bad, but they didn't do anything good either. What good did they do? They're just powerful people. Okay, believe me, if you don't do anything bad in today's world, that's pretty good. Okay, that's already, you're already ahead of everyone else. But a tzaddik in our vocabulary has a connotation that you do something special. You do something in a positive way, more that's usual. So here it says the word zakai. Zakai has a connotation that you're an innocent person. You're like almost naive. According to the Unkelus, you get the feeling that he's translating the pasuk Noach ish tzaddik. He was this, a lemachol? I don't even know what the word is. It's, you know, a guy, the whole world, you have a world, everyone's out there making trouble. This guy's gambling, this guy is a rotzeach, this guy's a ganef, this guy's a rasha, this guy does this thing. And Noach, he minds his own business. He's not a rosh yeshiva, he's not someone promoting Hashem, he's just an innocent person who minds his own business, nothing to write home about. That is the word zakai. Rashi is coming to disagree with Unkelus. How dare you say about Noach, he's just a naive, innocent person sitting on the couch doing nothing. No, Noach was out there in the world promoting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was out there in the world going out of his way to teach people how to be good like Avraham Avinu to a degree. Not then Rashi has to go on to say, even though I gave Noach, I gave him a thumbs up, I said that he was an amazing person. He had a Chabad house, and he was putting on tefillin, and he was giving people lakshin kugel and potato kugel on Shabbos and doing all these chasadim, but he didn't come anywhere near Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was in the league by himself. According to Unkelus, you don't need to say that. Because according to Unkelus, Noach he didn't have a Chabad house, he didn't have an Eshel, he didn't go out of his way for Hashem, he just minds his own business. You wouldn't even have a Hava Amina to compare him to Avraham Avinu. If you tie the word tzaddik with a connotation as you said it's zakai, which just means whatever. He's just a regular guy. How do you know this? So in fact the Ramban really says this. V'hitztiku es hatzaddik, v'hirshiyu es horosha. In that pasuk, two people come to court. Right, the pasuk in Devarim Chaf Hei, pasuk Aleph. Tamar, is that correct? Devarim 25:1. And that pasuk, tzaddik, doesn't mean you're a big Rosh Hashiva, you're a big Rosh Hashiva, and you're giving Musar, you're a famous person on Torah anytime, you speak by the Aguda convention. That's not what it means there. It means there's a Din Torah. By a Din Torah, no one's a tzaddik. If two people come to a Din Torah, no one has clean hands. Okay, that's the way. No one has clean hands when they end up in court. So what does it mean? It just means Judge Judy says, you ever watched Judge Judy years ago? They still have that, right? Anyone who ends up in that courtroom is pathetic. What's the difference? The difference is one person walks out, has to pay, and one doesn't have to pay. That's all it means. It's no grace chachma to be a tzaddik in her courtyard, in her courtroom. That's all it means. So that's what Rashi says. That's what Unkelis says. Zakai. And therefore, he's not even in the category of comparing him to Avraham Avinu. Elaine told us, Noach Gevar Zakai Shalim Hava Bidoro. He was a Shalim. Tamim means Shalim. See, Rashi really didn't say the word. Rashi did not tell us the word, what the word Tamim means. Rashi, interesting, he completely avoided the word Tamim. And Unkelis has no choice but to translate every single word. Shalim means complete. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good word. Okay? Because you would say, in the Haggadah, the Tam is not necessarily, he doesn't score too many points in the Haggadah. The Tam has a connotation of like a Nebuch, a naive child. The Tam, like I told you my joke, is the four people who wear a mask. I told you my joke. The guy, their reports that the Chochom from the Manishtana was tested positive for Corona. So the CDC called up the Tam, the She'eino Yodea Lishol, and the Russia. And the CDC said, you three better go now into quarantine because you were sitting together with the Chacham from the Manishtan at the Seder table. So the Tam says, of course, whatever the CDC says to do, I'm going to do. It's a Tam. Whatever you want me to put on a mask, gloves, I'll wash my hands, I'm going to sing happy birthday when I wash my hands. Everything you can dig up, the Tam, whatever you tell me. The She'eino Yodea Lishol, the one who doesn't know how to ask questions, he says, I'm going to break with protocol, and I have a lot of questions to ask. What in the world is going on here? You're telling me to stay home for 2 weeks? You're out of your mind? I have a lot of questions to ask before you put me in quarantine. The Rasha says, have a nice day. I'm out of here. He runs to the restaurant and he eats chametz in the restaurant with all the people with no social distancing and no nothing, no precautions. The Yesh Oimrim, this is the best part of the joke. The Yesh Oimrim, it wasn't the Chacham from the Manishtana who was tested positive. It was the Rasha that was tested positive. And it was the Chacham who went to the restaurant to have a good meal. You get the joke? That's the best part of it, the Chacham. But the point is that in the Haggadah, the Tam doesn't have such a good connotation. Mazois, what's this? So it says over here, Tzadik Tamim, according to the Targum, when it says Tzadik Zakai. Zakai means you're innocent, nothing special. If we follow that Mahalech, when it says the word Tamim, it means Noach was a naive person. He was a Tam. Tamim. he didn't get it. He didn't get all the connivory of the generation. The generation, they were into making trouble. They had this hanah, a pleasure of making trouble, looking to anger Hashem. Noach was a tam. And Hashem picked him. Hashem selected him. I want you. You didn't do anything wrong, and you're very naive. So you know something? You're a good guy for the mission. I don't need for this mission a Rosh Shiva. I don't need them. They can go. They'll go in the marble. Goodbye. They'll go on Kiddush Hashem. May you hear me? All the Rosh Shivas, gay gesunde hate. I'm looking over here for a stammer guy. A guy that didn't do anything wrong with his stam. He's a naive person. That's what I would assume the Targum means to say, but you can't really say that because the Targum does the word shalim. The word shalim is a pretty good word. Okay? The word shalim, it means there's no blemish. It means you're really good. Okay, it's not the tam from the Manishtana. So the Targum appears to contradict himself. Mitzad Echad, when it says the word tzaddik, he downplays the significance of Noach being called a tzaddik. You go to court. You have two criminals in court, and one, they have a law case, one wins, one loses. The one who wins, big deal, you're not a tzaddik. No one's giving the winner shlishi on Shabbos. Very good, you won the court case. What were you doing in court to begin with? How'd you get there to begin with? You know, tzaddikal. No, you were innocent. You came out, you beat the system. But yet when it comes to the word tamim, the Targum boosts the word tamim to mean that he was shalim. I think that's a very complicated personality type. Okay, this is a very powerful, according to the Targum, you want to super analyze the Targum, you want to say that this idea is correct. Zakai means you came out innocent, and the word tamim means you're sholem, you're a complete person. What it really means is he's a person that has enormous potential, but he has not yet done anything to bring out that potential. Right now you're a zakai. All that means is you didn't do anything wrong, but you didn't do anything good either. Then it goes on to say tamim. You're a complete person. You have all of the qualities. And therefore, it's precisely this unique combination that Hashem was looking for to tap into and to nurture, to make Noach into a very great person. That's what it would appear. According to Rashi, Noach already was a person of stature. Noach was already a tzaddik, which in Rashi's vocabulary, tzaddik here means he was already known to be a personality. He was Lord Noach. Everyone bowed before him. He was a very great holy person. So Hashem just used Noach for who he already was. Unkelis, tzaddik tamim. He has all the milos, but he has not yet developed into who he should be, and Hashem is now coming to nurture him to become the man that Hashem wants him to be. So we have over here a fundamental machlekes, I believe, between again Rashi and Unkelis. When Rashi, when we've been taught in yeshiva in kindergarten, Noach ish tzaddik zecher tzaddik levracha ikir tol doisem shel adam are the meisim toivim. Those words were not said by Rashi in a vacuum. Those words were said in a heated response to the Targum. Unkelis, I strongly disagree with you. You translated Noach to be an ish tzaddik and to be a gevar, a man zakai. You're killing Noach with faint praise. I'm sure you heard that expression. You can kill someone with faint praise. You know, a person deserves praise, and you say he's a nice guy. Yes, you know, you just you can ruin a shidduch like that. Shidduchim, many shidduchim are ruined like that. You call the person, you want to hear information, and they say, yeah, you know, he's a good guy. Yeah, he's okay. He's okay. He's okay. Oh, you're just okay? So if he's just okay, then, you know, my daughter, she's not just okay. My daughter is, you know, doesn't get better than this. I'm not just looking for a guy. Yeah, he's okay. I'm looking for the best of the best. But I said nothing wrong. I said he's okay. You can ruin someone's life with faint praise. Unkelis is doing exactly that. Noach, he was an innocent person. Nothing special. He had potential. He was a shalim. Rashi is coming to nail Unkelis. How dare you kill Noach with faint praise? Noach was a true tzaddik. He was a personality. He was a world-renowned holy man. And that's who Hashem was coming to recruit for this mission.
It has to say that because when it says, Zayin Achameinu Mimaaseinu, if he was a man who, not if, but since he was the man who created farming tools, I'm sure the rest of the world had great respect for him.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Because he had stature.
Not necessarily.
Why, like you
just said. He had stature, but not he may have had stature as an inventor. He may have a patent, but not as a moral figure.
Why would they leave him alone and the other people? They rousted the other people. They stole it. This Noah was a great man in his time, and people respected him, and they left him alone.
But we need Hashem is looking for a moral person, a Rosh Hashiva type. And just because he invented tools, you know, Steve Jobs. When you say Steve Jobs, right? So right now he's dead. He's dead already a couple of years. And his company is in the top of the world. Mamish, the top of the world. Does anyone think of Steve Jobs also by the Goyim? Like the Pope? They look at him like the Pope? He was a very arrogant person. And there were nice things about him. You read the bio. There were some soft spots in him, but he wasn't anything like to write home about. He had certain things, but Bill Gates. Does anyone look at Bill Gates as a religious figure? You know, the whole world is running on his operating system. He controls the whole world. No, all right, you know. So Noach, he invented Windows. He invented the computer. He created the microchip. Very good. So he's a world. He's a name, but he's not necessarily a moral person that the world looks up to for guidance in ethical matters. All right, let's go further than Targum. It's over here, Chava b'doro, he in his generation. So over here, the Rashi over here, obviously the Zanit, he's not really making any chidushim here. We really can't see. B'dach l'soda Hashem heilach noyach. Now, this is a very powerful thing. Rashi over here, b'dach l'soda means in fear. This is, the Targum over here is going off the deep end. Okay, b'dach l'soda Hashem means fear. Bidechilu urechimu. It means he was a Yorei Shamayim. And that's not the way we would translate the Pasuk. We would say Es Holokim, His Halech Noach. We would say Hashem walked with Noach. What is that? I mean, how would he even translate it? Rashi could not disagree with the Targum more. The Targum has such a fundamentally different way to translate the Pasuk. The Pasuk here, the subject of the Pasuk is who, according to the first, who's the subject of this expression? According to the Targum, the subject is Noach. Noach was a Yorei Elokim. He feared Hashem. Esho Elokim, Elokim is like Midas Hadin, the harshness. Es Elokim his Halech Noach, the Midah of recognize Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid is what accompanied. It was Noach's moral compass. It's what accompanied him through life. the fear of God. Now, obviously, that's really raising the bar on who Noach was in a way, I think, even more than Rashi. Because, you know, there are, I mean, on the one hand, Rashi, the Unkelus is getting more and more complex as we're going through the Targum. Unkelus starts out by demoting, tzaddik. It just means he's innocent. Then it says he was a shalim, good midos. Everything about him is perfect. And then he was a yorei shamayim. Wow. He's a yorei shamayim. He has all the potential, but has not yet hit a home run. According to Rashi, Rashi starts off, he was a tzaddik, which in our vocabulary, unfortunately, the word tzaddik in our vocabulary is not really, it's been damaged. He was a grois rebbe, a grois rosh shiva, and he was tamim. Rashi doesn't even comment. And then when it says, es or lekim es halech Noach, even though he was a very big Talmud Chacham and tzaddik and alamailis, he still needed Hashem to give him a boost. The subject of the pasuk, according to Rashi, is Hashem. Hashem is the one that took Noach by the hand and kept him going, energized him. Because if not for Hashem constantly supporting him, he would have collapsed. So the subject, according to Rashi, is Hashem. And according to Unkelus, the subject is Noach. Noach was a Yorei Hashem. The word over here, bidachlasa, means to fear. Bidachlasa da Hashem, with the fear of God, halech Noach. Rashi, no. It means Esho Elokim, the subject of the pasuk is Hashem. His salech Hashem walked by his side to keep him going, not to collapse. So we have an appreciation of why everything Rashi says is almost always coming to disagree with Unkelus. Because if Rashi agrees, then Rashi's quiet. He has nothing to say. Unkelus said it all. I'm coming here to disagree. And come out all across, and sometimes Rashi adds in things that Unkelus doesn't really develop. Like here the word Bidoy Raisav. Bidoy Raisav in his generation, Bidoy Rohi. Okay, that's a pure translation. You can't have any complaints in the Targum for saying the word Bidoy Rohi, but it's not really giving us any elaboration for Rashi to come along and make a statement. But yet Rashi over here does make the statement, Yesh Merabaseinu Shadoshim L'Shevach V'Yesh Shadoshim L'Gnai. Okay, Pasuk Yud, Vayola Noach Shlesha Vanim, Eshem Eschom Yes Yofes. Noach had three sons, Shem, Chom Yofes, Rashi. Rashi says, there Rashi over here, there is no Rashi on this Pasuk. Unkelus, Vayola Noach Telos Benin, Yos Shem, Yos Chom, Vyos Yofes. Okay, we have the word S. S, that's standard question of the Pasuk, why the Pasuk has to say the word S three times. I don't know. It doesn't appear a comment. There's no comment over here at all about this. Next, Pasuk Yud Beis. Vatishacheis ha'aretz lefneihu elokim vatimaleh haaretz chamas. The earth was destroyed. Lefneihu elokim vatimaleh haaretz chamas. Over here the Pasuk presents two problems. Number one, there was hashchosa. And then it says there was chamas. Let's do the next pasuk in base. Vayar Elokim es haaretz v'hinei nishchosa. Even though there were two problems, the problem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took note of was the hashchosa. What is the hashchosa? Hashchosa means pashtus gili arayis, corruption, where people were. We'll see in a moment. It has the connotation of gili chomos is gezel. So there were two problems. There was hashchosa, which we're assuming now to mean Gili Arayos, and it was Gezel. Which one does the Pasuk take note of? Vayar Elokim es ha'aretz v'hinei nishchosa. Ki hishchis kol bosar es darkoi al ha'aretz. Now there's a lot of problems with this Pasuk, and that the biggest chiddush of this Pasuk is the word v'hinei. The word v'hinei in Tanakh always connotes surprise. Surprise! You would never expect this to happen. And here, like Yaakov Avinu, In the morning it says, Vihine Leah. Surprise. You thought you were marrying Rachel? Surprise. Vihine Leah. Every time you have the word Vihine, it's always the unexpected. What's the unexpected? Vayar Elokim es Haaretz. He looked at the earth. Vihine. Hashem is surprised. Is it possible to use the term Vihine by the Ribbono Shel Olam? Is it even possible to say such a thing? It's a very deep, something very, very deep philosophy going on over here. Even the Ribbono Shel Olam can be surprised at how far a man can go. Vihine nishchasa. Ki hishchis kol bosar estarkoi al aretz. There's repetition in this pasuk. What do you mean? Of course, if it's nishchasa, of course. How else was it nishchasa if not for the fact that hishchis kol bosar estarkoi al aretz? The answer is, the end of the pasuk is coming to explain the word vihine. If there was no vihine, it would just say vayar elokim es haaretz, vayar elokim es hashchosas haaretz. Hashem saw the corruption of the earth. Period. Then it would not need to say ki hishchis kol bosar es darkei al aretz. The conclusion of the pasuk ki hishchis kol bosar es darkei al aretz is an explanation for the word vihine. Hashem, so the will was corrupt. Okay, very good. Thank you very much. But Hashem was surprised. He was surprised at the degree. And why was he surprised? That it went so far that it was, number one, kol basar. There are two things which contributed to the extreme. Every single living creature. Number two is darkoi. It's one thing when a person, he decides to commit a crime because he has taiva, he's in a very bad situation, he's poor, he needs the money, he has children to feed, he has a lot of very good excuses. But if not for those problems, he wouldn't do it. If a guy didn't have 12 children to support, he wouldn't be robbing a bank. That's not my way, it's not my derech. I don't want to do this. I have no desire to go rob a bank. But you know, what am I going to do? I got 12 children to feed. I can't take the humiliation anymore. I just can't deal with this anymore. I'm losing my mind. So I'm going to go rob a bank. I don't care. I lost my mind. But if I didn't have this problem, I would never do something like this. Here it says something very shocking. Esdarkoi. The people decided to rob the bank even though they had in their own Swiss bank accounts millions of dollars. This is what I do. I rob banks. I murder. I kill. I steal. This is who I am, even though I have no need for this. That surprised Hashem. Hashem did not expect. Let's see Rashi very quickly out of time. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph, it says, Yafim Yud Beis, to the Tatishoches. Lashon erva. The word vatishaches means arayas. And okay, I only told you one. Va'avoy dezara. Okay, two things. I erva va'avodizara kumo pentashchisun. It says what pentashchisun by avodizara. Vati mole haaretz chomos. And it was gezel. That's the end of the pasuk. So they were able to deal with three things. Vatishaches means gili arayas, avoy dezara, and vati mole haaretz chomos gezel. Chomos means gezel. Pasuk Yudbeis, ki hishchis kol basar, and then it goes on to describe gili arayis, because animals, this is a very interesting thing. Animals, can you call an animal a ganaf? Of course you can. They steal all the time, animals. Animals, they don't have any moral. They go and they steal. Do animals commit gili arayis all the time? Did you ever see an animal bow down to an avodah zarah? Did you ever see animals capable of avodah zarah? Dogs are man's best friend. A dog is an oived avodah zarah. A dog does all three. A dog is nichshol gilui arayis, shvichas damim, and the fact that a dog worships man and doesn't daven to Hashem, man is the idol of a dog. A dog really is the worst of all animals, because a dog does all three averis. Other animals don't. Other animals, they couldn't care less about man. They'll eat them up. They'll who knows what they'll do to man. Other animals are only nichshal in arayos and gezel. And here when it says ki hishchis kol basa, the reason why it does not say here in Pasuk Beis chomos is because we're dealing with chomos is by animals, but let's see. Ki hishchis kol basa afilu behema chaya ve'oif nizkakin l'she'enon minan. Okay, so here at least it describes them here, they get the rice. Let's just finish up the Targum, we'll stop. Targum Pasuk these two psukim very quickly. Yod alf yibayz ve'is chabalas ara kodam Hashem. The world earth was chabalas. Now, according to the Targum, this is again, this is what would appear to be a disagreement. Rashi says, "Vatishaches avodah zara, and gili arayis." Chabalas does not have that connotation. Chabalas means the earth just became a filthy, dirty place. The earth was just destroyed. It doesn't. The Targum does not lend. It does not. The word chabura. It's like the word chabula. It was just the is chabalas ara kodam Hashem, the is milias ara chotoyfin. Chotoyfin means people who snatched, who grabbers, entitlements, like America. What does it mean? See, this is a very powerful word. Chomos, according to Rashi, means gezel. Gezel means you take what's not yours. That's not what it says in the Targum. The Targum says chotoyfin means to grab. Sometimes you grab what's yours, but it's not edel. It's not refined to grab even what's yours. The word chatofin means they lived in a society where everyone felt, I'm entitled. I have entitlements. I'm entitled to have this, and therefore give me what I'm entitled to. It's not focusing on gezel, it's focusing on the midah of entitlement. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says the world wasn't destroyed. The world was, according to Rashi, Vatishaches means they nuked each other. What is the word Vatishaches according to the Targum? The Ischabalas. It sounds like people got into a fight. There was a very complicated world, a sophisticated world with technology, United States and the USSR. And what happened? The Cold War resulted in someone pushing the button. And United States nuked USSR, the USSR nuked the United States, Cuba got involved, Argentina got involved, and this country got involved. Before you turn around, the whole world was full of nuclear fallout. The world was literally destroyed. It was a sick world. People were just sick. That's really what the Targum says. He's giving us a history lesson. We think the world, they were just people walking around the world, they did a gezel. No, you know what happened? The world was like it is today, and things just went over the top, and they pulled out all the nuclear missiles, and everyone launched them. And the world turned into, you know, the apocalypse, what it looks like on all these science fiction movies, after they push all the buttons. So Hashem said, you know what? We're going to start all over again. We're going to bring a marble. It's going to clean away the nuclear waste, all of the pollution, all of the radioactivity, all this stuff. We're going to start all over. That's what the Targum says. The Ischabalas, the world was destroyed. It already was destroyed before the marble. Rashi says, no, it wasn't. It was a beautiful world, pristine, clean. Everyone was driving electric cars. There were no carbon emissions. It was gorgeous out there. But the people were rotten to the core. They were nichshol navo, the zorin gili arayis. There's a massive machlekes here between Rashi and Unkelus as to what the world looked like before the marble. All right, I'll have to stop over here. Tomorrow we'll continue.
a guest lecturer wants to make some comments.
Yes.
Okay. Ish tzadik tamim haya b'dor rotav.
Yes, I'm listening, yes.
Rotav in plural.
Oh,
should be ish tzadik tamim haya b'doro.
So you're saying very good.
Yeah. Why it's written in plural?
Okay, so very, first of all...
Because Noah lived 950 years, and he lived in few generations, not only in one generation.
Excellent.
He lived in Dora Mabul, and he lived in Dora Flaga, Migdal Bavel. So we have two adjectives. Ish tzadik tamim. Tzadik is more tzedek, tzedakah, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, justice. More ben adam lechaveru. Tamim, tamim tiye im Hashem elokecha, more than ben adam
lamakom.
Lamakom. So in Dora Mabul, שמל הארץ חמאס והשחיתה וגילוי עריות ושפיכות דמים ועבודה, זה יותר בן אדם לחברו. זו בדור המבול, he was special because he was צדיק, שזה בן אדם לחברו. דור ההפלגה, שדווקא socially they were perfect, והארץ שפה אחת ודברים אחדים, they're so friendly, but the problem was שניסו לקרות באלוקים. So בדור ההפלגה, he was special בתמים, בין אדם למקום. So בדורותיו, בדור המבול, הוא היה יוצא מן הכלל צדיק, שזה צדק, בין אדם לחברו, ובדור ההפלגה, תמים תהיה עם השם אלוקיך, שהחטא שלהם היה שרצו למרות באלוקים, אבל חברתית, הם היו שפה אחת ודברים אחדים. So בדור ההפלגה, הוא היה תמים תהיה עם השם אלוקיך.
Excellent. Matim. Excellent. I think you should give the shiur. I think we may.
I wrote this down already for myself, my own thought, what she just said, except what it says, what when God told Noah to get out of the table, what did he say to him? Ki oscho roisi tzadik lefonai bador hazeh.
This door, zeh.
Bador mabul.
He says, this generation, so that's why, in other words, that gives license to the people that say, you know, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said that one of the reasons it says that he only had three sons, because that's all he could handle. If he had more than three sons, he never could have kept them in line, and they would have been Rishayim, and he would have lost them.
Wow.
And the Orach Chaim says just the opposite. He says that Noah was such a big tzaddik that the only reason he had three children was that God told him he's going to destroy the world. So normally what would people think? What's the point of bringing kids into the world if God is destroying the whole world? But Noah said at this point in time, you know what, it's time to get married.